Tito's Handmade Vodka is America's favorite vodka for a reason. From the first legal distillery in Texas, Tito's is 6 times distilled till it's just right. And naturally gluten-free, making it a high-quality spirit that mixes with just about anything. From the smoothest martinis to the best Bloody Marys. Tito's is known for giving back, teaming up with nonprofits to serve its communities and do good for dogs. Make your next cocktail with Tito's. Distilled and bottled by 5th Generation Inc., Austin, Texas. 40% alcohol by volume. Savor responsibly.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
All right, let's get going. Play Tessie, episode 258. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Before we get going, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, you know, wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. You can subscribe there. Hit the thumbs up on all our videos. We got the Play Tessie playlist there. You can find the videos there. Hit the thumbs up. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat, it's Gordo, and Sox coming off back-to-back wins. We're recording on Monday night after a good, well-fought, grinded-out win against the Guardians in the first game of the series, after the day after they took the final game against the Pirates, and thankfully did not get swept in that series, but you're right back on track here with 2 straight wins. 3 games up on the... Okay, you're tied with the Yankees atop the wild card. You're 3 games up on the Mariners. And then you're 5.5 games up for a playoff spot on Texas. You go to the division, you're tied with the Yankees for 2nd place, and you're both 2.5 behind the Blue Jays for 1st. And so, obviously, that has to be the vision right now. And it's not to say that not winning the division is a failure or anything. We've had this conversation before, like, what's your goal? But realistically, the Red Sox are going to achieve the season that we need them to this year, which is getting to the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. This team is a very good team. But one thing before we get into the standings conversations, because we'll start off there. But one thing that really has me going right now, I saw this maybe 30, 40 minutes before we started recording, was Chris Smith from Mass Live took a picture outside Fenway Park. And I'm sorry, Joe, I should have sent it to you. It's on his Twitter. But it's of 2 hours after the game. He's written his article. You know, the writers, they stay after the game for a long time and then they leave. And Chris Smith must have been walking by the exit where the players parked their cars, and tons, hundreds of fans, multiple hours after the game, still hanging around there. And to me, it's a sign clear as day, the love affair that this city, the fans, and the players have with each other. And the players, it goes to the fans. It goes between one another. Like, you had Aroldis Chapman, and we'll talk about that extension today too. They extended Aroldis Chapman for at least another year, maybe two, probably two. And, you know, he talks about the chemistry that the guys have as a group. And to me, it's no wonder that we see these players continuing to sign extensions. They've had 4 extensions signed with players since opening day, when usually we see none. Usually it's spring training, and then you just don't hear about extensions again until the offseason, and more likely next spring training. But I think the fans can sense the special era of Red Sox baseball that is just that you're just scratching the surface of it this year. Like, this is just the beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, whatever you're seeing right now, the guys on this team, they're going to get better. They're going to get more guys coming up. They're going to get more guys in free agency via trades. Like, this is the beginning iteration of this great era of Red Sox baseball that we're about to see. And to me, I'm so happy that the fan base can see what's happening right in front of their face, because you flash back to other really good seasons the Red Sox have had. It really hasn't felt like the players are rock stars, at least since like the 04 to 09 stretch. But like right now, like, well, some of these guys are kind of starting to get into that territory where, like, you could see them growing into that at some point in this era. So it makes me happy to see, and I'm glad they got a couple of wins. I'm glad they're going to go to the playoffs. Like, obviously they lost 2 to the Pirates, but just I'm really happy with the beginning of this era and what it's looking like it's going to be.
Right. This season, 2025, feels like a year we're going to look back on years from now and point to it as the start of this new era of Red Sox baseball. And you can feel it, and the fans know it. Like you said, Gordo, we were at the game Friday night, Tolley versus Paul Skeens. That felt like a playoff game. That felt like a playoff game with the Pittsburgh Pirates in town. That's a special kind of energy. And I agree with what you said at the top of the show, Gordo. I'm more so focused on the Red Sox winning the division. It's great that they're probably going to make the playoffs. I'm thrilled about that. I said all year long, just make the playoffs and I won't complain. But there's two reasons I really like the Red Sox odds of winning the division. One, actually, let's make it three. One, the Yankees schedule is brutal coming up. They have the Astros coming up next, and then I believe Detroit, Toronto, Red Sox, something like that. But the Astros are next on drop day. That series starts Tuesday night in Houston. Second, the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays. We all thought they'd be better than expected. But if you were to point to one thing that you were a little concerned about, it's not the lineup. The lineup is good. It's not the rotation. The rotation's deep, and it has ace-ish type guys at the top, especially now with Bieber. The bullpen. The bullpen is becoming a major issue for the Blue Jays, who are in first place in the AL East right now. Hoffman, Jeff Hoffman, who was their big signing, big-ish, him and Santander, in the offseason, his ERA is up to 5.02. So that's how much he's struggling. He looked great to start the year. And you go back and you remember that the Orioles and I believe the Braves both passed on him because they looked at his medicals and it didn't look good. Blue Jays take him. He looks great to start the season. And everyone's thinking, what did Toronto know that those two teams didn't? Maybe it's what did those two teams know that Toronto was willing to look past? Because that guy's struggling. Sir Anthony Dominguez, their other back end guy, he's solid. Brandon Little, solid. Varland, solid. But there's no one who really scares you if Chapman's or if Hoffman's not on his game. They don't have an Aroldis Chapman in the bullpen. And the third reason is because I think the Red Sox are just as good, if not better, than both the Blue Jays and the Yankees. So between the Yankees' rough schedule, the Blue Jays having an extremely, extremely fatal-ish flaw, and the Red Sox just being a damn good team, I'm looking at the division. I'll still monitor the wild card, but I'm looking at the division. Drop day to or today, Monday, as we record, the Blue Jays got walked off by the Cincinnati Reds. So that bullpen, as we speak, is struggling.
2-run lead in the ninth. They came back in the ninth, and then they re-blew it. 2.5 games. If you want the playoff odds, Blue Jays have a 60.8% chance to win the division, which is way lower than it was even just a few days ago. Fangraphs, for whatever reason, loves the Yankees. They give the Yankees a 26.1% chance and the Red Sox a 13% chance to win the division. But Yankees and Red Sox are the same amount of games back. So
that's crazy to me. Yeah. Wait. Yankees have 20. Well, okay. First off, I don't think Fangraphs can account for, oh my God, the Blue Jays closer is falling off a cliff. Is this going to continue? They kind of just look at who he's been, who he is.
But what about the Yankees? Like, why would the Yankees be twice as likely as the Red Sox? The Fangraphs has liked the Yankees all year. The Red Sox have been multiple games ahead of the Yankees, and Fangraphs has their playoff odds, their division odds, everything higher.
Say it again. It was what? 26 to what?
The Yankees are at 26.1% to win the division. Red Sox at 13% to win the division. If you want make the playoffs odds, Yankees are at 98.8, Red Sox at 96.3.
You know, I want to say that's fucking crazy that the Yankees have double the odds to win the division, but Fangraphs scares me. I always feel like they know something I don't, but I'm sticking with my gut. I think the Red Sox will win the division. I really do. We'll see. Feel good. Feels good to say that in September.
Yeah, and I think the big thing now, just where they are, look, 2011 happened, so I'm never going to say any postseason berth is guaranteed. That being said, I think we're on the same boat. We put it like 99.9% sure they're making the playoffs this year. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're making
95. I'll go.
So like they're ahead and they're for the most part playing really good baseball.
Yeah. So now that that's kind of settled, squared away, you're obviously shooting for the division, but the more important thing, if not the division, which I don't think they're going to win the division, is the top wild card. You have to have those postseason games at Fenway. Shooting for the division obviously only helps your case going for the top wild card. But Gord, I want to go back to something you said earlier. And you were talking about how we're going to look back on this as like this ushering in of like a new era of Red Sox baseball. They're becoming rock stars, like all this stuff. I think you're right on the money, because you go back to 21, people were going nuts in 21, but that was a lot like 13. Like that was just a bunch of like random guys who just played really well together. This is so different. This is so different. You have Roman, who is now, I would say, the face of the Red Sox and will be for the next decade. You have his best friend Marcelo right there with him. You have these young guys. You have Crochet locked up. You have Bayo locked up. Durand is just like a personality in and of himself. Like, this is all kind of feeling like it did back in 2015, 2016, where Bogarts got going and Mookie got going and Devers got, like, there's now that momentum, and it's only going to keep getting better and better pending, you know, health and maintaining the team and all this stuff. But it is so vastly different than it has been for the last probably decade or so, honestly.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, I was at the game today and Roman Anthony came up with the bases loaded at one point. I think he struck out at that, or maybe he either struck out or lined out in that bat.
He struck out. Yeah.
But literally he steps up to the plate and the entire ballpark stands up. Everyone was like, it was no outs. Everyone stood up for it. Sammy?
So I'm a big radio listener. I love to walk around Boston and listen to Red Sox games, which is what I was doing today. You can rarely hear the crowd on the radio broadcast. It was very easy to hear when that Roman Anthony at-bat happened. Shout out to Cooper Boardman and Lenny DiNardo for a great game, by the way. And Joe, if you were producing, I'm not sure, but shout out to you if you were. If not, I take it back. But that was... Yeah, it feels so good. I just love when people are into the Red Sox. Yes, Joe was producing. Okay.
Hell yeah.
So I love when people are into the Red Sox. I love getting texts from friends and family who are casual Red Sox fans asking me questions. Everyone's always like, I don't want to ask questions, be annoying. I'm like, no, ask me questions. This is what I love. I'm so excited that you, listener or viewer, whatever, are into the Red Sox. And for the last 2 years or so, we've been talking about a shit team, and it's like we're selling people on a dream. Like, I promise, if you stick with the team, Roman Anthony's going to be really good. Marcelo, Christian Campbell, and they're going to spend money finally. And now they're doing it, and we're so close to getting, not to reaching the top. I'm not going to say this is a World Series team, but we've got people hooked. It's fun, and I can't wait for the next Red Sox game. It doesn't feel like the last two Septembers, where it feels like a job to watch the Red Sox. You're like, okay, who are they playing? The Marlins? Probably going to lose to the Marlins. No, it's like, all right, Cleveland, you match up well with them. Let's whoop their ass. I love it, man. I'm so fired up. I hope you can hear it in my voice.
The truth is, like, think about it. We have each other on this podcast, and we have people in our lives that we can talk about the Red Sox with. But, like, I think about it sometimes. Like, if I didn't have you guys in this show, how few people I would have had in my life as locked into the Red Sox as I am to talk about the team with the last few years, because no one was locked into them. And I bet there's a lot of people listening to this show that for the last few years haven't necessarily had people to talk Red Sox with, because no one wanted to be locked in with the team with the way they are. But Sammy, you're right. Like, I've got a bunch of people in my life, casual Red Sox fans who want to get more into the team that text me about the team. And I love it, because I love sharing this passion with friends and family. This is the way it should be. This is the way it was when I was growing up. And I thought that's just the way the town was, but maybe it was just a symptom of how good the team was at that point. But I love that we're back there. Pat?
Yeah. I think I'm having more and more people reach out to me who are like the most casual Sox fans. Like, in years prior, they could probably name 7-8 guys on the team. Like, I have people who, those same people are now texting me being like, are we fucking serious? Why is Hicks warming? Like, they, like that kind of stuff. Like, that hasn't happened. That hasn't happened before. Like, those same people weren't texting me in 22 being like, oh my God, they called up Kyle Barraclough for this game. Are we serious? Like, that just wasn't a thing. It just wasn't a thing. And then now that the more like casual fans are going to more games, following the team more closely, able to like recognize these guys. And Gordo, like you said it again, and I'll go back to it, is like that rock star thing. Like Tatum, rock star in Boston. Drake May, rock star in Boston. Pasternak, Marchand, like all these guys are just rock stars. You're getting to that point.
Okay, here's a good comp. Ready for this?
Yes.
Think about, so Bayo came up what year? 2022?
Yeah. Bayo 2022? Yeah.
So one conversation that we had on our last show, and it's been a while since it feels like it's been forever since we've dropped the pod. There are so many things that we haven't talked about yet. We're going to get into all of it, everything that we've missed with this weird layover that we literally just did because like no one was at work and, you know, we didn't want to drop a pod with like a 1 o'clock game. We'd rather just drop it on Tuesday when everyone goes back to work. But we were talking about, who is better or who is more highly touted at the time that they came up, Bayo or Toley. And people forget how high Bayo was ranked in the system, but Toley has so much more hype around him because of the team that he's entering himself into, right? Like,
yeah, he's entering a... God damn it, dude. I was going to let that one slide. I didn't even laugh. No, Toley is, what'd you say, entering himself into... He's entering a playoff race, and it's his debut. I mean, Gordo, you know... Tell me I'm wrong. That felt like a playoff game on Friday night. And it's a friggin' game against the last place Pirates. And the place is jumping.
Think about this. How many people texted you guys about Peyton Toley versus Brian Bayo when he came up?
Oh, it's not even close. Nobody,
triple. Day
triple, quadruple.
Yeah. So like, we could talk about...
Sorry, I had a friend text me. Shout out to my friend Mitch. He's a Red Sox fan, but he's not insane like we are. He texted me that night, I'm all the way back in. I'm ready to get hurt. That's what I want. I want people ready to get hurt. I want people to be mad when the Red Sox lose. Not, oh yeah, of course. The ownership sucks. They don't know all prospects. All they care about is prospects. No, I want people, let's all feel the pain if and when they get eliminated in the playoffs. Or maybe we don't feel the pain. Who knows? That's the mystery that we've been missing. We've known the ending of every season for the last few seasons. We've known they weren't going to win. Now there's that little inkling. Maybe they will. Maybe they'll go far in the playoffs. Who knows? But be ready to get hurt. That's good pain. We want that.
When the Red Sox are good, I don't think there's another team in Boston that can kind of rally around like everyone does the Sox. Like even when those like Bruins in 19, they had that cup run. They were the best team in literally the best team in NHL history. Went to the cup and obviously, 2019, they lost the cup. A couple years later, they had the best team in the league. Sorry.
Yeah, 23.
And there were, like, obviously people are tuned in. Like, they're aware of it, like, whatever. When the Celtics are good 2 years ago and they won it, like, people rally, whatever. When the Red Sox are good, there's nothing like it in Boston. Everybody is wearing a Sox hat. Everybody knows who they're playing, when the next game, like, it is a complete, it just transforms the city in a way that no other sport in Boston can. And it's the best thing in the world.
And I think people have wanted to be into baseball. Like during the World Series last year, I saw a ton of Dodgers hats, which is like the secondary team because that's the team that's playing the Yankees in the World Series. People were into it. And I remember thinking last October, like, God damn, like it's funny that people are trolling and rooting for the Dodgers. I'm rooting for them. I hate the Yankees, but I wish these were Red Sox hats. We're in Boston. And this is a good, you know, consolation. But this now, this is the type of baseball I love, regardless of how it all ends. This is fun.
Well, it's like every time you look away, something comes up. Like if you want to talk about, we're in the dog days, bang, Peyton Toley comes up and he strikes out 8 through 5 1/3 scoreless innings before Greg Weissert lets in the 2 runs and now it ruins the line. But we watched that game. You saw how fucking good Peyton Toley is. Like that's going to be, I mean, we'll see what they do innings. They're clearly going to be careful with him, but like for the next 6 years after this or more, if they extend him, which is like before we would talk about, like they're not going to extend any, but now it's like they're extending everybody. We're sitting there in the radio booth on Saturday. Like when's the Peyton Toley extension? Because that's just what they've been doing. But you watch that. We're in the August slog. We're super locked into the playoff race. But, you know, it's like, okay, now people know the team is good. It's what have you done for me lately? What's interesting now? Well, here's Peyton Toley. He's going to shove it up your ass for 8 Ks and just dominate the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then, they lose a couple of games. Bang. Here's an extension for Aroldis Chapman from the fucking clouds. Like, this team has been fascinating from the jump this year, from the highs of these types of things to the lows of trading your best player coming off a 6-game win streak, this season has been captivating. I really do think that things like that, like where you really can't take your attention off of them because of the stories that have been coming out, that whether it be on the field or off the field. It's nonstop. And I really do think that that is a big part of what's led to this sort of love affair that's really beginning right now with the team and the fans. I just, again, like, I can't get enough of what Peyton Tolley did in his last, in his start. He was just unbelievable.
He was sick. I love what he said to the infielders and Cora when they took him out of the game. He just said, "I think you guys are so cool," and then left.
He's just authentically himself, and I love that.
Dude, it's his major league debut in Boston, a city that's like, you know, I mean, I love Bostonians, I love Red Sox fans, but we are totally like, oh, you got to earn it here, kid. You got to earn it. And he's in his first start dancing and shimmying on the mound. I love this guy. Have you ever seen a rookie pitcher, make a debut and endear themselves like that to a city, to Boston? Crazy to me. I love it. And great mustache, by the way. Producer Joe has one too. Joe, you want to show your stash? There it is. Here we go.
There it is.
He's looking good.
Dude, Joe's might be better than mine. Well, he has darker hair.
It's more visible and it's a little bit more groomed.
Yeah. All right.
Joe, were you careful? You make sure every hair is in place?
No, I just made sure like none were like, because you know, like, I mean, Gordo, you don't know, but when you have facial hair that goes, sure, like, don't. it starts to touch your lip a little bit, you got to like, be very precise.
Every morning, Joe, every morning I do my upper lip every single morning because I can't stand that. My ADHD goes crazy if I feel my mustache touching my lip. No.
Pat?
There was a quote. I actually just heard it today for the first time that slipped through the cracks, and it's fucking awesome, from Peyton Tolley. I can't remember if it was in single A or double A, but he told the manager there, if I'm not competing, that means I'm dead. I fucking love that. Like, that is like the equivalent in my brain of like when I was like on the fence with like the Will Campbell pick, and I'm like, I don't know. And he, through his tears, he goes, "I will fight and die to protect my quarterback." I'm like, I'm sold. This guy's a Hall of Famer. Like, that, I'm a sucker for good quotes. That is right up my alley. I am.
And he's a quote machine, and it's not even like, it's not in a look at me kind of way. He's just, again, he's authentically himself, and it's you see it in the video of him getting called up, and he can't help but cry a little bit. Like, you see it on the mound when he's willing to show his excitement, and it's just, I think Sammy said it, it's like you do not see that with guys making their debut. It's okay, how can I come up here and make sure that I fit in and don't draw too much attention to myself, because hey, there are vets on this team that have been here for years, some more than a decade, on this team in this infield. And it's like, okay, I need to do my job and be good for them and stay out of the way. And that's generally how this game is played. But with him, it was the opposite, and not in a look at me way. He was just authentically himself. And I really do think he's going to be a fan favorite because of how he carries himself in that way.
You know who deserves a ton of credit for all of this? The clubhouse mostly? Jaron Duran. Jaron Duran spoke the other day about how when he came up with the Red Sox and he got to the big leagues, it was a little bit uncomfortable, kind of that you're a rookie, you got to earn it kind of thing. And he said now what he wants to do, now that he's the veteran in the clubhouse, he wants to make it a welcome environment so guys do feel comfortable when they come to Fenway for the first time. And we forget, we grew up in the New England area going to Fenway. I've been there a million times. I could tell you every part of the ballpark like the back of my hand. But these guys like Peyton Tolley, who are from a different state and might have never been to Fenway, and you're pitching on the mound that night, that's got to be so intimidating, exciting, all these big emotions. And to have a clubhouse where it's welcoming and they're supporting you and not telling you got to earn it. By the way, there's 37,000 mass holes who are hammered screaming at you while you're trying to earn it. Good luck, kid. I think it's a really good thing. And we've spoken before about, is Jaron Duran a leader? Is he not? Is he somewhere in between? I think this points to really good leadership skills, that he wants to create an environment that's welcome for rookies, especially on the Red Sox, a team that has a lot of young talent. We've spoken about all of them ad nauseum. So credit to Duran for that. I think that's really big and a great sign of maturity as well.
And not for nothing with Jaron. I mean, we go back to that picture with Chris Smith took of the fans waiting outside. I mean, he's a big part of that. Like, he signs autographs for hours, like after every game, just because he wants to give that thank you to the fans that are so supportive of him. He wants to give a little bit of love back. And, you know, he's become a fan favorite, not just because of that. He's obviously an electric player, a relatable guy, a guy that opened up on a Netflix documentary that everyone watched and people really appreciated that, as they should. And yeah, when he pinch hit today, another at bat where the entire ballpark stood up to watch his at bat, because I'm sure there were a lot of people that were really disappointed today when they came out to the ballpark and he wasn't in the lineup. Well, guess what? No, now you get to see your guy, and people showed him a ton of love. Yeah, I know we've talked so much about like which outfielder needs to get traded, and we're so close to the forest that like sometimes like we lose sight of these things. But you know, everyone gives their all in a different way. But he's really given himself to this fan base in a way that's made people just fall in love with him. And you know, it's deserved.
Good news, dude. Devers is gone, which means DH is open. Yoshida will soon be gone, so you don't need to trade an outfielder anymore. I'm keeping them all, but we'll talk about that in the offseason.
Yeah, off-season convo. We just talked a little bit about Toley. We'll talk a little bit about him again. I guess not. I don't know. We'll figure out. He's not pitching Wednesday. It seems like it's probably going to be Kyle Harrison. I don't know. It could be a bullpen game. I don't know. They've been really coy about it, but it's definitely not going to be Toley. He's going to get pushed to Friday in Arizona, most likely.
I think probably going to be. Oh, sweet. We'll be there. Like this. Yeah. And then his third start will be the first start where we're not in attendance. How sad is
that? Sorry.
But yeah, I think it'll be 2 days of Zach Kelly. Like maybe he stays up through Tuesday and then probably Harrison, I think. That'd be my guess.
I would think.
They scratched him, so like that points to it. But then when the media asks Cora, he's always like, oh, you know, we've got tons of options, so we'll see. But their actions. And when we talked to Brian Abraham on the radio on Saturday, if you missed that, I believe Rob has that segment on the Baseballs and Boring feed, but he told us Kyle Harrison is definitely going to be making an impact on the team between now and the end of the season. So right now, and maybe for the next couple of starts before they start to get off days back into the mix, he could potentially play a factor there. But the day after Toley pitched, we had Dustin May. So that's the next thing we got to get into here is Dustin May. His start here, 5 1/3, 8 hits, 7 runs, 6 of them earned, 4 walks, 5 Ks, let up the one home run to O'Neal Cruz. And I don't know. I want to be respectful of some of the other outings Dustin May has had with the Red Sox where he looked really good. He had a couple back-to-back. I think it was the Astros and Orioles. So
correct. Yep.
Two non-slouch offenses, especially the Astros where he certainly looked his best. But this is now back-to-back clunkers. He had the bad one against the Yankees. Can't even say it's because he only had 4 days rest, because they pushed him back and fit Toley in the day before to give him that extra day. He did not look good. I don't really know what else there is to say besides he needs to be better, because there isn't, like, I don't think you're about to see a 5-man rotation like, oh, insert Toley, insert Harrison, and Dustin May goes to the bullpen. Like, you're not going to see that. First of all, they want Peyton Toley on a longer rest schedule, so you're going to need to keep him in there. You're going to need a 6th man in that rotation at least some of the time for the rest of the season. But also, like, they traded, like, people don't want to talk about the package that they traded, but James Tibbs was a big part of the Devers package that they traded to the Dodgers to get Dustin May. Maybe a little bit of advice: if the Dodgers, who are trying to win a World Series this year, want to trade a guy away, maybe you don't trade for him. But I digress. Yeah, I digress. They're going to give Dustin May the rest of the season as a leash. Like, he is here. You traded a lot for him. You clearly like something. He seems to think that he knows exactly what he needs to do, and it's just a matter of execution. I hope he's right. But this is a guy that they as brutal as it has looked for two starts, they do have to stick with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to give him a few more chances, I guess, if you want to call it chances in the rotation, at least. Here's what kind of scares me with him. Fly balls. From his first 5 starts with the Red Sox, 8 fly balls, 9 fly balls, 12, 9, 10. That is pretty tough at Fenway. It's not a good place to be a fly ball guy. And we can harp all day long about why did Breslow choose Dustin May? Was it a backup plan? Was it a panic move? But he's on the roster. So I think it's pretty cut and dry. You can't. Against the Yankees, okay, whatever, it happens. That's a good lineup in Yankee Stadium, Sunday Night Baseball. You're not always going to be at your best. It happens.
Good point.
The Pirates at home, there's no, I can't talk him out of this one. That was bad, discouraging, need to be better. That's all I got on him.
Yeah, I think my thing with May is the stuff is there. Like, to me, this is much different than the Walker Buehler situation. Like, Walker's velo sucked. His location sucked. His off speed was brutal. Like, nothing was clicking for him in any way, shape, or form. May at least has the sweeper has looked very good at times, and velo always plays. So I'm a little bit more comfortable, not confident, comfortable, kind of riding May out throughout the rest of the year, seeing what he can do with more starts, kind of fine-tuning things. And worst comes to worst, he's a bulk guy in the bullpen come playoffs. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, he's also a guy whose stuff you maybe would feel comfortable trusting in a bullpen role, even in a non-bulk bullpen role in the playoffs.
And that was the whole thing with Buehler. You can't do that because he literally had nothing. He was throwing at 91, 92, couldn't locate it. The curve was just kind of getting flipped in there. It was either in the dirt or hung. His cutter was ass. Like, and there was nothing going for him and no trait that would have helped you out of the bullpen had you kind of given him expanded time out there. But like I said, May's different to me. Like, there are things there that you can use, that you can tweak, that can be useful out of a pen, or at least to give you 3-4 innings in kind of like a bulk opener role. And like that's where I'm at with him right now.
So May has pitched out of the bullpen before. It's not a big sample. 13 games, 26.1 innings, 2.73 ERA. So, you know, it's not like it would be a completely foreign role to him. I agree with everything you said, Pat. Buehler in the bullpen, when that was the direction the Red Sox were going, I said give him a few chances and then launch him to the sun if it doesn't work. Completely different than him being a starter. With May, I feel like what you said, the stuff can tick up. He's a big dude. He's younger than Buehler. Yeah, I think I would feel okay about him in a reliever role. The more I think about it, the more anxious it makes me feel, but I wouldn't feel terrible. There's no scenario in which I'd be like, this is not the move. This is Jordan Hicks. This is bad. So I think it's worth a shot if he does lose that starter job, at least.
Well, the question I have, though, is if he, and let's skip the regular season here and let's get to the playoffs. Obviously, like, who are the best four starters on the Red Sox? You're going to go with your big three, and then you're probably going to say Peyton Tolley. But we asked Brian Abraham about this on the radio, Red Sox director of player development, about Tolley's workload, and he said it's not necessarily an innings cap, but there are sort of signs they can look for to see when he's kind of starting to wear down, if he's going to do that. Didn't really get into specifics, said he didn't want to tip his hand to other teams potentially. But one, like, Peyton Tolley has been pitching all year and is, Sammy, correct me if I'm wrong, is he right at his career high in innings?
Yeah, like, I think he's
from college. He's probably past it.
He's past it. I'm 99% sure he's past it. Either way, he's right in that ballpark.
Right.
So worth monitoring.
So it's like, come the playoffs, I don't know if Peyton Tolley, like, I don't know if he is going to be allowed to start games. So if he's not, if you need a fourth starter, like, I mean, we're going to get to see some of what Kyle Harrison can do, but if Kyle Harrison isn't better than Dustin May, like, unless you're going to bullpen, though, maybe that's the move, is they'll bullpen those games. But it really does feel like, to me, you either have to push Peyton Tolley past levels that you thought you would have to at any point in this first 2 years, not to mention his first year. You go with Dustin May, you go with Kyle Harrison, or you go with a bullpen game. Those are your only options to me.
I mean, I think the right now in my head, playoff rotation is Crochet, Buehler.
Hell yeah.
Whoa,
yes.
Whoa.
He's the number two.
Crochet, Bayo, Giolito. You can flop Bayo and Giolito if you want. And then the fourth game is May and Tolley. One starts, one piggybacks, depending on who you're facing. That's the way I do it. Not a pure bullpen game. I think right now I'd lean towards starting Tolley because he hasn't really been a reliever. Dustin May has, but, you know, if you're facing the Blue Jays, a very right-handed lineup, maybe you want to start with Dustin May, get out in front, because I feel real great about him pitching against the Blue Jays. But you get the point. Yeah. It would be those two, and you hope that those two combined can give you 6-7 innings, and you piece together the rest.
Yeah, it'll probably figure itself out. You're right, Sammy. The solution is probably some sort of mixture of a couple of those solutions, because let's be honest, like, even if Peyton Tolley starts the game, by that point, like you're in October, he's not gonna go six innings. So you're gonna have to figure something out. Like if it's not Dustin May, it's someone like someone else is going more than one inning there.
Right. And I don't want to hear people saying, oh, take the kid gloves off of Peyton Tolley. That's not that's not at all what's happening here. The kid gloves are already off.
Oh, they're way off.
They've
pushed this guy.
The kid gloves are off. I don't want to hear, oh, let him go six, let him go seven. Relax. He's 22, allegedly. But
yeah, it's true. Him and Jonah Tong, same age.
He looks like a grown ass man.
Yeah, there are people who are like pissed that Cora pulled him when he did through five and a third. His velo was down to what, 93 at that point?
It's down 93, like 5, 94. 6 miles an hour.
Crazy. Yeah, yeah. And like,
he kept him in.
Yeah, he pushed him a little further than a lot of...
That's Gordo. I had my tweet ready to go. We were sitting in the WEEI booth and Gordo goes, wait, he might come back out. And I went, no, there's no chance, Gordo. He hasn't gone more than five innings in months. And then he comes back out and I'm like, what? A little weird.
Yeah.
But once he let up the two base runners, he's at 84 pitches. He hadn't thrown more than 72, even in AAA. Oh my God. It was the surprise was that he put him out for the sixth, not that he pulled him when he put two guys on and his velo was down. Like, no, it's the right call. It just didn't work. But let's get to the next, because I know we got a couple more things we got to get to. But we're talking a little bit about Walker Buehler. Let's cover that. Walker Buehler DFA'd by the Red Sox before Friday, has since been signed by the Phillies. He's eligible for the postseason with the Phillies if he makes the roster. To me, no-brainer move at this stage with everyone being healthy to do it, since you needed to have Peyton Tolley for that game. Like, you couldn't kick the can down the road to September when you could add the extra guy to the roster. Like, to me, like, yeah, Buehler could have been that sort of Chase Anderson mop-up guy, I suppose. But this is not a guy who, oh, a light switch was going to flick on and he's going to become a dominant postseason reliever for you. No, like, he was throwing all seven pitches in relief and he said it himself, like, all of my pitches suck. So like, it's not like there's two that you want to hone in on and throw those in relief. And he's right. Like, this guy wasn't going to give you anything. And like, to me, in terms of guys that like the Red Sox, like we have seen guys that are easy to root for struggle with the Red Sox. And it's hard to watch that because, you know, you want the guys that you like that are good to you and that are good to the fan base to succeed. And it sucks when they don't. But this one, it's like, I don't know. I don't want to say too much, but we didn't, I don't know. He wasn't,
you know,
let's just say I'm not that upset to see him go. Personally.
I'm not either. We don't have to go over this again. I said all year, gotta give him a shot. And at this point, Tolley comes up. It was time to pull the plug. I'm glad they did. Wish him the best in Philly. Kinda. Yeah. We'll see.
Pat?
Yeah. I think it was different too from like, he wasn't like a Sandoval or a Pierzynski. Like, he wasn't like someone that the whole fan base like despised because he was a piece of shit. He just stunk. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no harm, no foul. 1 year deal. Like, whatever. See you later. No,
I thought you meant Patrick Sandoval. I was like, who hates
No.
Oh, Pablo. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, not a gut punch. Not crushed over it. See you later.
We've never had a more muted reaction ever in our group chat. It was just like, okay, bye. Yeah.
And it's like to put it in perspective, like, this is a big name in this landscape of baseball here being DFA'd. Or not DFA, released. Like,
this isn't
Andrew Heaney. Small deal. Yeah. Yeah. It's not that. But yeah. I don't know. I'm not heartbroken about it.
No. Personally, not at all. Not. Nope.
Hey, man.
By the way. Someone said I look like him. I don't look like Walker Buehler.
You don't look anything like Walker Buehler.
I have more of a chin.
You don't look anything like Walker Buehler. And Walker Buehler has the face that like some people look like.
I have a light bulb shape head and he has a light bulb shape head. I think that's why I was a little bit like not that Walker Buehler is not a good looking dude. I just don't see it. I don't think I look like that.
What's my head shape?
You have
square.
Square. And then Pat is kind of egg.
Egg? I thought that is more circular.
Yeah, egg. Oval.
No, I don't think it's oval. I think it's more like round.
Pat, can you take off your headphones and your hat? I got to look at your hat.
He's like, all right, I got to.
All right, here we go. Let's see the shape of Pat's head. Oval. Dude,
that's a round head.
Yeah, oval is close to round, but he has
no
flat
oval is type. Taller. Round is like perfect circle.
Round makes me think of a baby, like a newborn baby with a round face. No, Pat doesn't have a. You think Pat is a baby face?
No. Certainly not a baby face. No, Pat's a grown ass man.
Pat's a chiseled man. All right. Anyway, okay. I don't look like Walker Buehler. End of that. That's not going to become a thing.
Walker Buehler will be on the Phillies, and we'll see how that goes.
Six man rotation. Oh, watch that fix him. And we're like, God damn it. That's all it took. It's an extra day of rest.
That's what I was going to say. Can you imagine being a Phillies fan? You just lost Zach Wheeler for the year. They're like, don't worry, everyone. We got Walker Buehler.
Pat, you know I'm telling you, they're going to think, oh my God, we got Walker Buehler. That's because they haven't been watching him all year.
No, they're going to think, yo, we can unlock
we can unlock him once, and he destroyed the Phillies. He carved up the Phillies.
True.
He fucked them up.
Yeah. What the fuck was that, dude? What? That's why I wanted to stick with him all year. I'm like,
that was like 8 innings, 5 Ks, 1 walk or something like that.
He wasn't fully incapable. Like, he had a few of those starts.
I'm looking up that line because that was his one great game all year.
Yeah. No, but it got to a point where it's like there are other people in this organization where you can have legitimate faith when they go out there that they're going to give you a good start. Whereas Walker Buehler, it's like, hey, he's probably not going to. It's in there, maybe.
Yeah. Whatever. C'est la vie.
Philly. He went 7 innings, 2 runs, 1 walk, 4 Ks. Like, where did that come from?
Oh, that's crazy. That's basically like a slightly longer version of what Peyton Tolley just did. And like, we acted like that was like, holy shit, he is. Oh my God, this was unbelievable. He can do this. He can be in this rotation. He can pitch in the playoffs. Like, oh my God. I don't know. Whatever. He's gone. He's not on the Red Sox anymore. Never going to pitch for the Red Sox again. The Walker Buehler experience is over.
Well, you could get him on a cheap deal for 20. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you guys want to hear his worst stat line?
Yeah.
Is it the Angels?
You would think he somehow got out of that with only 5 innings or five runs.
Not bad.
His worst one was actually at Seattle in June. 3 1/3, 8 earned, 4 walks, a home run, 2 strikeouts.
So, and that's against the Mariners without Josh Naylor and Gino Suarez. That's the bad lineup.
And
Mariners,
I believe J-Rod
was in Seattle.
Like 210. Yeah. J-Rod was hitting 210.
Yeah, J-Rod was ice cold. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, Walker Buehler, I like the idea. Didn't work.
Yeah, we were all happy when they signed him, but I mean, it was pretty clear a few starts after he came off the IL that he had better options. I would rather see a bullpen game.
You ever had a big signing break while you're on an airplane? It was the first time, Walker Buehler. I was in the sky and I was like, my God, I should probably not yell on this airplane.
Kimbrel trade happened when I was on an airplane. It was right as I was about to take off, and then I lost service for the rest of the flight. I don't even think I got to see the trade return.
Oh, yikes. I wasn't on a flight, but I was on a family vacation in New Hampshire. Didn't have service. Got back down from like the mountain or like mountainside where we were kind of having dinner or whatever. Got service. The first notification I get was the Josh Beckett, Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford trade to the Dodgers.
Oh, that's... Yikes. Well, okay. When that trade went down, what was your guys' emotion? Because I was devastated.
I hand up. I was what? Carl Crawford, Adrian Gonzalez signed when? 2011.
Before
so
that
I
year.
Was 12. I was 12 years old when that happened. My favorite player was Carl Crawford.
Same dude. Wait, you liked him too? I love that guy. Crawford.
Yeah. So that was gutting.
I've never met anyone else.
Gutting. And I was like, I bet me being an idiot, I was like, we probably got like Matt Kemp. And then it was like Nick Punto, Robbie De La Rosa,
Taylor,
James Loney.
Bro, they traded Nick Punto. It was the Nick Punto trade.
Lonely James, they called
him. They got James Loney and Alan Webster.
Alan Webster, that's what it was. Yeah.
Webster was supposed to be good. Whoops. Anyway,
Okay, let's get to Chapman. One more thing before enough said. Yeah, Aroldis Chapman extended. It's crazy. Like, I feel like any other season, an in-season extension of a reliever having one of the best reliever seasons anyone's ever had. He has a one ERA right now as we're recording this. 16 straight? Did I have that right? 16 straight? I just tweeted this today.
Yeah, today's 16. Yeah,
16 straight hitless outings. Hasn't allowed a hit in 40 days. Unbelievable. And he signs an extension with the Red Sox, and it's a year at $13 million with a vesting option for another $13 million if he hits 40 innings. And for perspective on 40 innings, he's, at, I believe, 53 or 54 right now. So basically, he has to be relatively healthy next year, and he has to finish the year healthy. That's another stipulation there. But it good chance this thing turns into a two-year, $26 million deal that is perfectly well-deserved. With the season that he's having, I've just, again, like, the Red Sox had a 2-run lead entering the ninth, and I had just zero, beyond zero doubt that the question is always, is he going to let up a hit? Not is he going to let up a run?
Yeah. Oh my God. Maybe my worst take ever was not liking the Chapman signing. So he's thrown 46 batters in a row, which means he's getting fairly close to two no hitters worth of batters retired. If he's 54 is what he'd need for 27 plus 27.
Right, but that 46 includes walks.
How many no hitter, not a perfect game, but
right, but the batter's face goes down. Like, how many outs recorded is he at in a row? That's, I'll find that out. Finish your thought. I'll figure that out.
But yeah, he's just been unbelievable. I can't believe how improved he is at age 37. And I'm sure you guys heard this. I think I mentioned it to you guys at the ballpark the other day. That story that came out, I forget who it was through. It might have been Buster Olney.
It was Buster.
Buster spoke about it at least. Chapman had like some sort of epiphany pitching to Connor Wong when Connor Wong called for an inside fastball. And Chapman's like, dude, I never even thought to throw an inside fastball. Normally I just throw it. And everyone was kind of like, what? You don't aim the pitches? Maybe it was.
I know Buster said that. I don't think it's true.
Who knows, man? Chapman's a weird dude. So maybe it might be true. If that is true, that's absolutely insane. He was just friggin' zipping it in there at 105 when he was 22 years old. Now he's doing it at a much slower 102. Nice and easy. So yeah, just crazy, crazy season. Unpredictable. You're a liar if you're saying you saw this coming. I can't even talk. He's so good. I'm losing my mind. But yeah. Not an ounce of nerves in the ninth inning when he's in the game at this point.
Whoa.
Devour feculent.
Yeah. By the way, the batters, it's 42 outs recorded. So.
Yeah, but no hits, I'm saying. Not a perfect game, but. Oh, right. 42 outs. 46 okay,
includes four walks.
Okay, so he needs.
So 42 outs.
12
more. So that's
12 more to get two no hitters.
Four more outings. Four more clean outings with no hits. That's not unattainable. Why does the 46 batters include the walks? That's kind of weird.
Because it makes it look better.
Yeah, I guess. But anyway, we'll call it 42 outs without giving up a hit, plus a few walks in there. Still crazy. He's thrown a no-hitter's worth of outs, you could say. More than that.
Five innings more than that.
Yeah, a lot more. Wow.
It's Chapman. Also pretty cool that Chapman's just at the stage in his career where he doesn't really give a fuck about money. He's like, 13? Yeah, I'll put pen on paper. And just
He wants to win.
So this is like, I was talking to some friends about it. It's like, so he had an okay 2024 sign a one-year $11 million deal. He's the best reliever in baseball and got a $2 million raise. Like, he just doesn't care. He just wants to play on a winning team. Like, that's where he's at in life. And I'm glad he's doing that with the Sox. Because I think he would have gotten pretty good payday if he hunted for like the biggest contract he could get this winter.
Yeah, I saw, I think it was Milliken surfaced the Kirby Yates deal. And I think that's a good comp because the Kirby Yates had an unbelievable season last year at pretty much the same age. But the difference is Aroldis Chapman's stuff is like, it's not Kirby Yates's stuff. And Aroldis Chapman, from a marketability standpoint, like, he enters the game, you have the Aroldis Chapman video. Like, that guy is tough and like,
yeah,
instills confidence in the fan base that has him on your team, and the batters and the other fan base are shitting their pants at having to watch him throw fastballs at them. Like, Chapman, like, it's a different breed looking at the guy from like a physical standpoint, like he is, I've never seen a human that looks like that.
You know what's really fucked up was what the Pirates did the other day. Who was it? It was in the ninth inning. Chapman was in, and they pinch hit with who was it?
Are you talking about the rookie that was making his debut?
No, they pinch hit with someone. I don't know. They put some kid in there, like just coming off the bench, ice cold. Hey, good luck against Aroldis Chapman, and he just ate him alive. I felt bad for the kid. Canario, maybe it was one of those guys. Just came into the game and just got chewed up by Chapman at Fenway. Like he had no shot. It's evil, evil to do that to anyone.
It's good though. They're not going to have this ninth inning hole to fill in the off season. Like no, like you've got your closer. You've got a lot. Like you've got your three dudes like Chapman, Whitlock, Slayton that we think are serious back end dudes, and that's locked in for next year. And you know, obviously Steven Matz and Justin Wilson are going to be free agents. So yeah, you're going to have to work a little bit on the left side of the bullpen. But like you're talking about the heavy lifting, like no, like the heavy lifting, like the closer role, that's a big spot on any roster. And not having to work with that in the offseason is great. It like reduces a lot of anxiety for those of us who want them to enter the season with a good bullpen already. So we don't have to have those ninth innings that we've seen in recent years with the Sox. And yeah, I mean, he's just really good. He's just really good, and he's on the Red Sox next year. And if he has another good season, he'll be on the Red Sox the year after that too.
Yeah, pretty attainable. What do you call it? Escalator, I guess you could call it. Rocket. That's for the
vesting option.
Yes, vesting option.
Because it's 40 innings, which I believe after today he's at 54. 40 innings and healthy at the end of next season, it vests.
I love that money. Stipulation. I love that if he's healthy. That's great. That's incentive for everyone. So good stuff. Craig Breslow with these extensions.
Well, okay, that's one thing. Before we get to enough said, how awesome, like we've had so many straight years of Red Sox executives in the front office and ownership. They just kind of like sit on their hands and kick the can down the road as far as they can on everything. How awesome has it been this year to see them act with the amount of urgency they have, at least when it comes to extensions? Like
it's nice.
Four, like Crochet, they didn't let him have the season he's having. They made sure to lock him in right then and there. Christian Campbell and Roman Anthony, like basically like unhatched eggs, and they get extensions. And now Aroldis Chapman doesn't even test the market in the off season. Like what? Unhatched eggs?
Unhatched eggs?
Well, that's what they are. They're basically, you know, they're little chickens and they're poking their beaks out of the egg.
That reminds me of when the Rockies debuted their Triceratops mascot, and he came out of an egg on the field, and people were like, oh, interesting.
Like when Wally came out of the monster and got booed in the 90s.
One of the best moments in Boston history. Wally getting booed in his debut. Bostonians just like, I don't know what the fuck that is. Boo!
I think one thing that like all the extensions, both like, I mean, all the way back to what Crochet and then now through Chapman, is sure, like free agent wise, maybe they're not as aggressive as like we want them to be. But Craig is like able to actually see what needs to be done. Not like, oh, like we can do, like you needed, maybe Chapman, I would argue you needed to have back next year. He's been that good. I would say you need him back. The fact he was able to get Roman done is nothing short of incredible. He got Campbell done. He got Crochet done, which you had to do. All those makes me the utmost confident that Alex Bregman goes nowhere. Craig knows that he cannot go anywhere.
Perfect segue into enough said, because that's going to be my enough said.
All right, let's start off with you, Sammy. Enough said time.
My enough said is I have never, ever been more confident that Alex Bregman is going to get extended or resigned, whatever. He's going to stay with the Red Sox. So there's no way. There's absolutely no way that the Red Sox let this guy go. Just doesn't make any sense. It would be completely insane to trade Rafael Devers, your third baseman, and then you replace him with Bregman, kind of, sort of. I know it wasn't that streamlined, but that's basically what happened. And then let him walk. He also very clearly wants to be here, and he has a Sam Adams commercial. You cannot let that guy walk. And I think there's like...
Hold on. What? Pat, what is that face? What is that face? Come on. You don't think...
Brad Marchand had a Sam Adams commercial right before he got traded.
Yeah, it's very different. Okay. The Bruins were terrible, and Brad Marchand had
it. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
He had his thing for years, too. So this is don't do a Sam Adams curse. That's not a thing. But yeah.
Sam Adams curse.
No such thing.
No, he's not going anywhere. I'm unbelievably confident. I seriously worried about Xander Bogaerts all the time that year. I worried about Alex Cora. I do not worry even a little bit about Alex Bregman. He also might not even opt out. Like we'll see.
Yeah.
I think he probably will, but like it's certainly not a given.
That's another example, Gordo, of Craig getting shit done. Is the Cora contract too. It goes back to last year. No one thought he was signing an extension.
Yeah, you're right. Uh-huh. You're right. Pat, you got enough said?
Quicker picker. I do.
Not much to say. Just, and UNC just threw a pick six. It's perfect timing because right before the game started, I'm watching UNC TCU, Belichick's coaching debut. They pan up to like the box seats. There are so many famous people there. It's Michael Jordan, Julius Peppers, Lawrence Taylor, Roy Williams, Randy Moss, Mia Hamm, Aaron Boone. And then just sandwiched in between all of them is Bill's like 27-year-old girlfriend. And it's just the weird, like, she's so Aaron Boone. Yeah, Aaron Boone's there.
Didn't he go to UNC?
I believe he went to UNC.
Oh, okay. Makes sense.
That was just weird. It was just Aaron Boone. I'm just going down the line. I'm like, holy shit, look at her. Is that Jordan? Like, she's just so out of place on the box. She's cracked me up.
I don't like her. She scares me.
You do know, Pat, that like she registered for the trademark gold digger?
Yep.
I saw that. That's crazy.
Yep. To make jewelry. Yeah.
What a gold digger move.
Wait, Boone did not go. He went to USC.
Oh, so I wonder why he's there.
Big Steve Belichick fan.
Where's the game at, Pat? Is it in?
It's at UNC. It's at Chapel Hill.
Where are the Yankees tomorrow?
Houston.
All right. That's weird. I don't know. I got nothing.
New York Post is going to rip him. They're going to write some wrong Boone or something like that.
Joel Sherman's going to have his head.
Yeah.
All right. My enough said. I guess I have two. Shout out to the 22% of people on my Twitter poll who also did not know who Paul Bunyan is. I stand by that. And I'll take my lumps. I'll take my punishment. I sang the Paul Bunyan song on the radio. And then Pat posted it on Twitter without even the slow piano music. So I just look like I'm bumbling around. Like, oh, it was a turpentine and tall bunion. I don't know.
Tall bunion?
Yeah.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Paul Bunyan. No.
Sammy, if you and Pat agree, do you think we need an intervention for Gordo? Because Paul Bunyan, to me, took it way too far.
You said that, Joe, but what is the intervention? Are you going to like sit me in front of a TV and like go over the history of television movies?
The three of us are going to get together and put down a list of movies, TV shows, everything that you need to know.
Reference.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. You guys can come up with a list of 10 movies or TV shows.
And no, you need more than 10.
No, because like I can't do it all. Like, this off-season, a good
start. Start at 10. Turn. Have you seen Borat? You got to see Borat.
I've seen Borat, but I remember nothing about it.
All right.
I've seen Bruno, and the only I'm not gonna talk about the only scene that I remember from that. Yeah, that. That's the only thing I remember. It was like traumatized. I was a kid.
When I went to go see that, the ticket taker, I think I was in high school when that came out, and the ticket taker just handed me a ticket, and she's like, this movie's disgusting. And I was like, that's why I'm here, lady. Thank you. I know what I'm getting myself into. It was gross. But,
we're going to have some good offseason. Like, this offseason, we're getting Cooper Boardman on the show, and we're going to do a Who Knows More, me versus him, about movies and pop culture.
I'm already putting my money on Cooper.
Put the list together of questions. Like, this got to be good. This can't be something that comes together the night before. Like, we got to have a good comprehensive list of questions. This will be fun.
I have a theory that Gordo spent the morning after we did radio just making like 27 burner accounts to get the poll.
Hey, the poll was there even on the radio, Sammy. It was there.
Yeah. All right, burner guy.
All right. Second enough said before we get out of here, because we are running a little long, but shout out to the Red Sox team store. They've got these seat backs in there. $20 a pop. That's sick.
Not bad. Where do you put it though? What do you do with it?
I don't know. So that was the thought process. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but $20 was worth the risk that nothing ever comes of it and it just sits in a closet. And yeah. If something does come of it, it'll look sick.
So, I mean, if they ever get rid of Fenway in like the year 3000 something, maybe you'll have a relic, but that'll never happen.
I wanted to buy like a fully usable seat, but they cost so much money and they tell you that you probably also shouldn't even sit in them. And I was like, okay, like probably shouldn't do that.
Wild. The most uncomfortable seat on the planet would be a Fenway seat in your home.
I almost did it. I really did. But I didn't do it purely because I couldn't sit in it. Like, I need to be able to sit in it.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe next time.
Okay. Let's wrap it up. We did go a little long, but worth it because a lot has happened and we went like an extra day between recordings. But shout out for you for making it to the end. Appreciate you tuning in to episode 258 of Playtest. You remember, hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube page. Subscribe there as well. You can find the Playtesty podcast playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on all the videos in there. We really appreciate it. And then you can find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. As a reminder, schedule for this week. We dropped this episode on Tuesday. We're dropping another one Thursday. And then we got an interview coming on Friday. So eyes out for that. We'll be very excited for that one. But for Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it is Gordo here. Sox coming off a couple straight. Got two more with the Guardians before an off day and then off to Arizona. It's go time, baby. Here we go. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.